quick question. How many calls, texts, or messages does your business miss every week? Nights, weekends, busy days. That's lost money. Create Assistance helps businesses fix that problem using AI employees that answer calls, respond to texts, book appointments, and follow up with leads 24/7 automatically. No extra staff, no complicated software. Everything runs inside one simple command center that replaces scattered tools, missed follow-ups, and manual busy work. Whether you're a service business, office, or multi-location company, Create Assistance keeps your business responsive, organized, and running even when you're off the clock. Stop letting leads slip through the cracks. Visit createassistance.ai to book a free call. Or you can call or text 515-500-2224. Again, that's 515-500-2224. We look forward to hearing from you.
Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Saturday mornings with Jim Valley, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays with Andrew Zarian. And it is Monday here on the show. You know what that means? We got a lot to talk about. Yeah, it was SummerSlam weekend, and I watched them. Both of them. All of them. And we got a lot to say. Lance Storm is going to be joining us here today. Not sure how much he has seen, but I know he's got a couple of things that he wants to say. So we're going to get about, we'll get into all of that today. Raw is tonight, and I haven't seen anything for Raw yet. I may have missed something, but I went through everything before the show. I didn't see a Raw preview, but we got SummerSlam Fallout. We know that, and we'll probably find out where some things are going in the future. So this coming Wednesday is the Grand Slam Dynamite, which I believe is a scheduled 2.5 hour show as opposed to the unscheduled 2.5 hour show that we had last week, which I could talk about here as well, because there is something notable there, which I think we should discuss. We've got All In coming up. There is no WWE PLE until September. There is no August PLE. So the next WWE show is Money in the Bank. And so we'll discuss Money in the Bank, some potential winners. Got a Brie Bella injury update. She was hurt at SummerSlam. We got some upcoming AEW pay-per-view dates, plus where they're going to be running WrestleDream this coming year. Got notes on Kevin Owens and plenty more. If you want to text us here today, 425-780-7566. That is 425-780-7566. F4W Online at gmail.com. F4W Online Threads, Instagram, and Cameo. At Brian Alvarez on X and Blue Sky. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
Everyone likes a success story. All In Lid Company was started by two young entrepreneurs who wanted to build a premium hat brand around quality products and an inspiring mindset. That mindset? All In Lid isn't about what you wear. It's about how you think. Believe in yourself. This brand was created to inspire people to go all in on themselves, to chase the goals that matter to them, to bet on their vision, their work ethic, and their belief, even when the outcome feels uncertain. Founded at Florida State University in Tallahassee, the message quickly resonated with students who believed in the mentality behind it. Today, All In Lid represents more than premium headwear. It represents commitment, confidence, and ownership, a reminder to stop playing small and show up fuller for your goals. Their mission is simple: to inspire as many people as possible to go all in on themselves and their next chapter. AllInLid.com. Be sure to check it out. AllInLid.com.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solutions Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solutions Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-520-8629. 800-520-8629. 800-520-8629. That's 800-520-8629.
Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. They're doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Oh, Lance is joining us here today. We got a lot to talk about. Lance, you didn't see any SummerSlam, but you know what happened?
Yes, I've followed all the results and saw lots of clips, but I didn't actually pull it up on Netflix and watch it myself, yes. I was going to pick a few, and I thought it's like me saying, oh, I liked this match or I didn't like that match isn't exactly insight, but if we discuss booking decisions, directions, and why things were done, I think that's a more intelligent conversation.
We'll have to find out now, won't we?
I guess so.
All right, we had two nights of SummerSlam. And I thought the shows were both basically thumbs in the middle shows. I was not blown away. Night two, I think, was slightly better. But if you actually look at the star ratings that I gave the show, because I do that for the front page, I actually give star ratings. I mean, the two shows were remarkably similar. There was like out of six matches. On each show, there were two matches that I thought were quite bad. There were, like, I guess on night two, there was also a third match that wasn't very good. But, you know, the good matches were good. I thought the main event of the second night was actually a pretty, I mean, I would say it was, for what it was, an excellent match. I would have preferred if they moved a little faster. The Roman Reigns Seth Rollins match, 33 minutes. I mean, if they would have cut 20% of the length and just moved 20% faster, I think people would have been calling it like one of the best WWE matches of the year. And granted, Dave did, but I mean, most people did not. I saw. Maybe some of you thought that, but the first night we had Liv Morgan beating Io Sky to retain the women's title, and I don't know. I thought they should have gone the other way.
Apparently, she's vowed to not defend the title for another 100 days.
Yeah, this whole there's. I mean, we can look at it. You want to just look at it like match quality? Okay, Liv Morgan and Io Sky, I thought was a very good match. Usos, Jacob Fatu, Royce Keyes, LA Knight, Solo Sikoa. That six person, I thought was fine. It was just fine. Gunther and Nick Aldis, I thought, was very good. Thought Aldis did a great job. Thought Gunther did a great job. The Fatal Influence versus Bellas and Paige match was terrible. I mean, terrible. And Brie Bella got hurt, which we'll talk about later. Punk and Cody for the WWE title, I thought was the worst WWE title match since John Cena had those title matches where he was trying to work heel and they were terrible. I mean, it was just, it was slow. They didn't have the crowd until the second half. It was one just horrible spot after another. I did not like this match. Brock Lesnar and Obafemi, I thought for what it was supposed to be, was a good match. You could argue it was a Hell in a Cell match. It lacked blood and some other stuff, but I mean, they used some tables and chairs, and the finish was supposed to be on wood, but wasn't. You know, we had a tombstone on the exposed boards. I mean, Brock put the guy over as strong as you can, other than Oba squash him. I mean, if you're not going to do that, if you're going to have something resembling a Hell in a Cell match, I mean, he couldn't have put the guy over stronger. So I thought that was a good
thing.
Main event.
It accomplished something very important.
Yeah, it accomplished its goal.
An older, very top powerful guy put over a younger, very powerful, soon to be top guy and did it clean and said, this dude's the future. That's big and important.
Now for the second night, Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Gunther, which was an impromptu four-way, what was supposed to be a one-on-one singles number one contenders match, ended up being the four-way. And I thought that match was about as good a match as you could have in the 8 minutes that they gave them. 8 minutes for Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, and Gunther.
See, this is them trolling you. You watched Redemption and said, not every match needs to be over 17 minutes. Some of them can be 8.
Yeah.
Well, WWE trolled you and gave you 8.
This is not the one I wanted to be 8 minutes. Trick Williams and Baron Corbin, I thought was fine. I mean, the finish was whatever. We could talk about that. But as a match, you know, Baron Corbin beat him. It was fine. The women's ladder match, I thought was...
dangerous.
I thought it was... I can't say it was bad. And the people loved the finish. But, I mean, I charitably gave it 2 stars. I initially was going to go lower, but, I mean, there were a couple things that weren't too bad. But it was not like... it was not a good ladder match. The Dominic Danhausen match was the worst match of night two. And really, the reason was it wasn't wacky enough. They tried to have a match. And then some people got involved. And
there was fake money in the bag.
They did a finish, and yeah.
Penton,
Chad Gable. Chad Gable won the title. I mean, this match was very good, but it could have been much better. They only got 11 minutes. That's another one. And... you know, as soon as it was over, they got to get that root beer dog in the ring, or bear, whatever that animal was. So, I mean, could have been better. And then Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins for the WWE title. I mean, honestly, this match was exactly like the Cody Punk match. The difference being, the crowd was hot from start to finish, and they didn't botch any spots, and that was it. I mean, if this is the kind of match you like as a WWE fan, and clearly, you know, from watching the crowd, this is the kind of main event people like. I mean, it was great. I thought it was very slow, but I didn't think it was bad at all. In the end, I thought it was actually quite good. But, you know, you just kind of watch it and you're just waiting for it to like kick into second gear. And kicking his second gear. And the second gear ends up being, oh, let's powerbomb a guy through a table and then we'll both lay around for 2 minutes. So it's what the fans have come to expect. And not only expect, accept.
Well, that's the thing. And I think, now I'm not disagreeing with your view at all, but I think, I find it funny, not haha funny, just odd, that because you're a guy that watches everything, so you have different expectations, but WWE fans know what a WWE show is and have expectations set for that. And AEW fans have expectations of what they expect an AEW pay-per-view to be. And they get that and like that. So it's like, I can see both fan bases giving Redemption and SummerSlam thumbs up.
Well, of course.
You being a more independent, I have to watch both. You end up being a lot more thumbs in the middle-y with these because you don't have WWE expectations when you go in. You have pro wrestling Brian Alvarez expectations going in, and you judge differently because you're not the typical WWE fan.
Well, I also think, and I talked a lot about this last night, that because I watch every show from both companies, it's abundantly clear to me that both of them, nobody is able to find just a happy medium. It's like Dave was arguing for minutes on end about how this main event was, you know, it's slow, but it's good. People like the WWE fans like slow. And it's like, listen, I get it. Like, they do accept that style. That doesn't mean you could speed it up 10% and they wouldn't also like it. It's just like, you know, how many times for like a straight year did I rant about how, why are there no video packages in AEW? And for a year, I had to hear the pushback from the fans about, we don't want video packages. We don't want it spoon-fed. We don't want it shoved down our throat. Well, then one day they started doing video packages. You know what? Nobody complained. I've never seen anybody, any AEW fan complain about the video packages they actually have put together. They didn't want it, they thought, but then when they got it, they didn't hate it. And it's the same thing with WWE. It's like, I know you defend these matches. I know you defend how slow-paced you are. I know you defend, but you know what? You wouldn't argue if it was a little bit faster. You'd probably like it more.
They didn't argue, and they loved when that gauntlet match happened and Javon and Dragon Lee went out there at a breakneck speed and were awesome.
Nobody complained. It was the most over match of the gauntlet. Back in a moment, Observer Live.
Sometimes life changes and the house you once loved becomes a burden. Too many repairs, too many memories, too much to handle on your own. If you'd like to sell your home fast, we can help at the Home Buyers Hotline. We can help you sell your home as is. No cleaning, no showings, and there are absolutely no hidden fees or real estate commissions. We'll pay you a fair price for your home in cash, whether you're downsizing, handling an estate, or just ready for peace of mind, call us. We'll help you walk away from your problem property in no time at all and get you the cash in your bank account with little hassles. If you'd like to sell your home fast, as is, we can help at the Home Buyers Hotline.
Call Want to Sell Your Home now for a free quote to sell your home in any condition. Call 800-950-3143. 800-950-3143. That's 800-950-3143.
Right now, you can switch from cable television to satellite television for free. That's right, we're offering free equipment, free installation, plus get a free $100 prepaid Visa card. Call the Satellite TV hotline right now. Make the switch from cable to satellite television and expand your viewing horizon. On top of free installation, for a limited time, we're offering a fixed price guarantee. With Satellite TV, you'll save money over your expensive cable bill. Plus, get access to hundreds of channels. And when you call right now, you can also ask about our seniors and military discounts. So make the switch to Satellite TV right now. Everybody gets free installation, free equipment, plus a $100 prepaid Visa card. Call right now and you can switch to Satellite TV and be watching everything you wanted to within the next week. And remember, installation's free, so call right now. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Let's be honest. Most businesses don't struggle because demand is low. They struggle because their back end can't handle growth. Leads come in, but follow-up is slow. Calls get missed. Appointments don't get confirmed. And everything lives in different places. So even when marketing works, revenue doesn't scale. That's a systems problem. Create Assistance fixes this by building a done-for-you CRM and automation system that captures every lead, follows up automatically, confirms appointments, and keeps everything organized in one place. And only after that foundation is built, AI voice and chat employees get added on. If your business feels chaotic behind the scenes, it's time to fix the back end. Visit createassistance.ai and book your call today. Or you can call or text 515-500-2224. Again, that's 515-500-2224. We look forward to hearing from you.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Lance is joining us. So that's all the matches. That's the quality of the matches. But there's also the booking of these two shows to talk about. And I see a lot of commentary in the chat right now. And obviously there's a lot online. You know, people want this, people want that. Listen, Hunter is still miles better than Vince before he left, okay? But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that whatever magic he might have had that first couple of years, it is not there right now. And I wouldn't say that it's like, I mean, it's not bad. It's not Vince 2019 level bad or anything like that. But you can see a lot of things where I don't really know what's going on. I mean, there are clearly issues with this company. It's not as hot as it was even a year ago. And a lot of that is just the booking decisions. And, you know, one of the big booking decisions of late is there's no young guys being put into new positions. And this is an old elementary mistake, and it seems like everybody should be aware of this, but people just, they just do what they do.
But there's the situation that creates it, and it's AEW, in that you've got your top stars, your Romans, your Punks, your all the guys who have been around for a while, that they would be terrified if they left and went to AEW. Because, again, the getting rid of the Hogans and Savages and the Scotts and the Kevins and so forth is what put them behind the eight ball in the first place. So you want to make sure these guys don't leave and jump. So to do that, you got to pay them big money. And then you have to justify their salaries, so you got to keep them on top. And if you move those guys down and you put the young guys on top, well, then the young guys deserve as big or bigger paychecks. And that's where you run into problems. And it's very reminiscent of WCW when they got in trouble because they had to push the old guys to justify their salaries rather than building the new guys. And that's what led WCW into its demise, to along with horrendous booking and other things. But so there is a bit of a dilemma in that regard, that you certainly don't want your top stars jumping ship, but if you just move them down the card, then you're not really justifying
the paychecks. Here's the other thing, Lance. You're absolutely right, but I'm not even asking for all of them. I'm asking for one.
Just a couple.
Can we have one guy in his 20s that has moved into the main event scene? I mean, I have to...
U.S. title scene. Poor Trick.
I have to make a correction, okay? Apparently Gunther is only 38. So there is one person in the main event scene who is not in his 40s, okay? It is Gunther. Other than that, with the exception of The Vision, every single male talent in the main event scene, with the exception of Gunther, who is 38, they're all in their 40s. Every world champion is 40. All of are in their 40s. Actually, Punk's mid-40s, and Roman's heading towards his mid-40s. Seth is heading towards his mid-40s. They were in the championship match. You know, Cody's in his 40s. We had a number one contenders match where, with the exception of Gunther, everyone's in their 40s. The likely challengers coming up this fall for the world titles, all in their 40s. I mean, it's the same guys. And then you had one young guy who actually was a singles champion. His name is Trick Williams, and he lost to a guy in his 40s. So, I don't know, man. I mean, then we had Liv and Io, which, I mean, I knew going in, Io won the Queen of the Ring over Liv. So obviously, Liv is going to beat Io in the championship match. I knew they were going to do that. But, like, the reality is, I mean, this finish put us exactly back where we have been for years now. There is a Judgment Day. Liv is the top dog amongst the women. Raquel is always second fiddle. I mean, it's been forever. And I thought at the very least, Raquel just won a title. Have Liv lose her title. Now we've got a story here. Liv is no longer top dog in the Judgment Day. Now she's number two to Raquel. We got something here. But instead, she retained, and we're right back where we were. We had, in the men's six-man, LA Knight got the pin. So, now granted, he's also in his 40s, but I think we might actually get this LA Knight-Roman Reigns feud for a couple of months, which I'm not sure it's going to light the world on fire, but, like, the people certainly like LA Knight. It is a new match. That's at least something.
And he feels like a newer character.
He is a newer character. He doesn't feel like an old man. So that's at least good.
Well, none of them feel like old men. They've just been around a while.
Lance. Well,
maybe some do.
CM Punk's gimmick is he's an old man. And Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, the build to their match was, we're old men. Let's do this one more time while we can. I don't like it. Gunther and Nick Aldis. I'm even more irritated now because they do this whole storyline, and, like, Nick Aldis is really over on television. The people really like this guy. And then he comes back, like, for the match, and he's super over. And I knew what they were gonna do. It's like, he's not beating Gunther. But I was thinking, like, he probably should beat Gunther. Give him a 2-month run while he's hot, and then you do a Gunther Saturday night's main event versus Aldis, put his career on the line. Gunther beats him, he goes back to being a GM. You got something new for 2 months here. Well, instead,
I pitched that to you, although I pitched taking it all the way to Mania. Give him the underdog win here. Potentially even have him injured so that you just have him talking on television for a while to lengthen it and give him a short run and build the Gunther rematch to Mania where both careers are on the line and you kickstart Gunther's career killer again.
I thought this is elementary. It's easy. Of course, Gunther ends up submitting him. And then, you know, that night on Observer Radio, at the time, Dave made a good point, which was, you know, at the press conference, they're just building up Gunther versus Punk. So if Gunther and Punk is next for the title, I mean, probably should have not lost to Nick Aldis. It was like, all right, well, if that's really what they're going to do. Well, as it turns out, that was just a swerve to make you think Gunther was winning the four-way the next night, which he didn't. Kevin Owens won. It's actually Kevin Owens and CM Punk. So Gunther currently has nothing to do. He could have feuded with Aldis. But instead, Aldis is back to being a GM again. And we're literally, again, right back where we started.
Although I do want to take exception with what you said on Observer Radio, where you were dumbfounded and said it makes no sense whatsoever that Nick Aldis, back as GM, put Gunther in this match. And I called you an idiot or some disparaging word. It's like, to me, it's the final closing of the angle and going full circle. Gunther was in a four-person match. It was a tag match where if he won, he got into the title picture. Nick Aldis screwed him out of it, led to their match. Gunther put him in his place and beat him. Hunter put him back in the GM spot and told him to be a pro and be professional. So Nick Aldis put him in a four-person match where he could earn himself a title shot, nullifying the screw job that Nick Aldis did before, which was unprofessional. And got him back where he was before Nick Aldis screwed with him. So I thought it made perfect sense.
That is excellent fantasy booking, Lance, but there's a big problem. Number one, they had one match. There's nothing full circle about having one match.
Full circle means you go back to where you were when it started.
They did nothing in the match or after the match to indicate that these men had gained a mutual respect for each other. And furthermore, well, there are actually two furthermores. When Nick Aldis added Gunther to the match, the announcers were all baffled. Why would he do this?
And then,
Lance, here's the key. After he added Gunther, he then said, actually, I'm adding another person. And it ended up being Kevin Owens. So, in fact, he screwed Gunther by adding Kevin Owens to this match, and Kevin Owens ended up winning.
It was a four-person match the first time, and it's a four-person match this time.
CM Punk and Cody Rhodes, I mean, booking-wise, I mean, that's fine. Punk won. They can do a Punk-Kevin Owens match, which apparently has never been done, which I find hard to believe, but that's what everyone's saying. They've never had a match together. So booking-wise, I don't have a problem with that one. And then obviously booking-wise, Obafemi beating Brock was the only answer. For the four-way, we talked about that. Trick Williams and Baron, I mean, everyone's up in arms, and I probably should be, but I mean, the key to the match for me is when Baron Corbin hit him with a belt that had fur all over it. They just gave this guy that new belt. They just created it. They're selling it in the merch store. Like, I mean, when this match ended, to me, it was like they're just doing something to give Trick something to do, like a journey back to this belt. I mean, he could win it at a Saturday Night's main event. He could win it on television.
Hopefully as a babyface.
Yeah, I don't think he's like done.
We'll talk not.
More after the break, Observer Live.
This important consumer alert is from the Credit Repair Hotline, a national service designed to help people improve their credit scores. Are you paying high interest rates because of your credit rating? Wouldn't you like to be able to qualify for a better car loan or mortgage rate? Would lower monthly payments give you more financial flexibility? If you're finally ready to fix your credit problem, you need to call today and get a free consultation from the Credit Repair Hotline. In one fast and easy call, we can pull your credit rating and show you real solutions how to improve your credit. And again, this is part of a 100% free consultation. Learn how you can save money on everyday purchases by having a better credit rating. And it all starts with this free phone call right now.
800-413-6214. 800-413-6214. 800-413-6214. That's 800-413-6214.
Lower your car payment today. Lower your car payment today. Yes, you heard us right. You can lower your car payment right now by making this free call and save up to $1,400 a year on your current car payments. Think about your current car payment right now. What's that costing you per year? Now think about what it would be like to put an extra $1,400 back in your pocket. That's the average savings our customers experience. We can help you drive the same car and pay less every month by lowering your car payment's interest rate to as low as 4.67%. At Rate Genius, we can work with you to refinance any car payment. If you qualify, it costs you nothing to find out how you can lower your car payment. To learn more, call this number right now.
800-832-2816. 800-832-2816. 800-832-2816. That's 800-832-2816.
I get a lot of calls from people across the country who are suffering from the affliction of IRS tax debt. Hi, I'm the tax doctor. Call me right now. My team specializes in helping people over the age of 50 solve their tax problems. And the bigger your tax problem is, the more money you can save. If you owe the IRS money, or you're about to owe the IRS money, or even if you need to file years of unfiled returns, call us right now. Our friendly, highly trained representatives are waiting right now to take your call. Over the years, we've helped thousands of people just like you stop the tax liens, Wade's garnishments, and harassing phone calls. You don't need to send the IRS a big fat check. We can negotiate a lower amount. That's what we guarantee for you. So call us right now.
800-603-9359. 800-603-9359. 800-603-9359. That's 800-603-9359.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
So the other thing with Trick, I'm a big fan of Trick Williams, but if we're being honest, he still needs the right opponent to really have a good match. And he's only had in his entire career just over 200 matches. And, you know, they're with the right guy, you know, he can go out there and it's great. With the wrong guy, he goes out there and, I mean, nobody cared about that match with Baron Corbin. There was no heat for that match. It wasn't a very good match. And I bring this up because, you know, everyone's talking about him potentially winning Money in the Bank. And I would not put him in that position right now. I think that he's going to beat CM Punk. He's going to beat Roman Reigns. He's going to be the top champion, like the world champion, like main eventing pay-per-views. I don't think he's ready for that role yet. I think that he should be a perennial U.S. champion for a while. I think get him on the road, get him in the ring with Carmellos and great workers. And I don't think he's a guy that like never have, you know, be a great worker or anything like that. But at this point in his career, I think he's better off, you know, working with good guys and improving before you put him in that position. So
I think too, you want to officially make him a babyface. Fans like him. He's fun. And I think also, too, like, I hate the Money in the Bank concept. It's like, if you think he can be a top guy, and I think he can, I think babyface is the role to put him in because he's cool. Babyfaces shouldn't back way their way into their first world championship with, I won a ladder match and I can take advantage of it and steal a victory. If you're going to put a world title on Trick Williams at some point, I think it needs to be a little while down the road yet, a couple of years, and have him legitimately win it. Don't backdoor it with some lame Money in the Bank.
Chelsea Green, I mean, everybody loved it, but this is another one. It's like, yes, everybody loved her winning, and it was a great moment, and I'm a big fan of Chelsea Green, but at the end of the day, this was a match for the new interim title, and it's leading to a unification match of Rhea Ripley versus Chelsea Green, which to me, I don't know, man.
Well, to me, I think it's a case of, if you think Rhea and Jade is a big match and Rhea and Charlotte are big matches, it's like you don't necessarily want to just give them away in a couple weeks, a couple months when there's the unification. And you can't have Charlotte win because her holding an interim world title is going to mess and screw with how many title reigns does she have. Do we count this interim thing as even a legitimate title win? Like, I think this was a, we're really sorry for Michael Hayes burying you on Unreal. The fans really like you. It'll get a great pop. It'll be a nice, here's your flowers moment. And she's someone that they're perfectly fine having Rhea Ripley beat.
Yeah, it's just a weird match because Chelsea is over. She's super over because she's
fun and entertaining.
She's a comedy character. And Rhea is like a murderer. So they're going to be wrestling for this unification, like you risk Rhea getting booed, you risk two baby faces and the fans aren't really sure who to get behind. I mean, there's a lot of things that are weird about this match.
You can avoid that by having the unification match potentially even be a surprise with the return, because if they're surprised with the return of Rhea Ripley, the Annihilator, place will go insane. And if they keep the match super short, she just comes in and annihilates Chelsea and wins, and there's the unification, the crowd will pop and cheer like crazy, and you don't give them time.
Still think fans would be upset about Chelsea either losing before the match or getting
destroyed. They'll complain about it afterwards, but they won't have time to not just pop for the return of Rhea, the hitting of her finish, and the winning and her standing there with two belts. They'll pop and go crazy, and then they'll all complain online, but they complain online no matter what you do, so who cares?
Well, we have we have Rocky Romero here on the line. Rocky, how you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. It's a wonderful day. It rained a little bit, and now the sun is coming out and shining on us because tonight is Asuka. Produced, presents Asuka Volume 3 here in beautiful Red Hook, Brooklyn.
Yeah, your main man, Orange Crush, I'm going to throw him under the bus. He didn't confirm you were on, so we didn't call you.
Ah, we'll blame him then.
Well, he's a busy man. He's a busy man, but yes. So I do want to talk about your show here tonight. So you are what's the word that they use? Curating the show.
Curating the show. I am co-producing, curating the show tonight. So yeah, it's a collaboration between myself and Mr. Orange Crush there. And I think it's a pretty stacked show. I'm super excited for it. Big main event versus Mystico tonight. I'm also doing double duty, Black Tiger 4 and Black Tiger 8 teaming together for the first time versus Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid Tom Billington. And first time and last time that'll ever happen, because for sure this is probably going to be Tiger Mask's last match of all time. So pretty cool stuff tonight.
So when you are tasked with curating a show like this, are you telling him who you want in the show and what matches you want? Are you doing certain matches? Is this entire card yours, or how does this work?
So yeah, complete collaboration. You know, Orange Crush came to the table with some talent that he wanted to use, match ideas that he had. I came to the table with people I wanted to book and matches I wanted to do. So we just kind of collabed back and forth and talked it through. And I think we came out with a pretty cool card that, you know, obviously features like legends, Minoru Suzuki, like I said, Tiger Mask, and completely new talent. You know, even talent that I'm not even really familiar with. So I'm excited, because I think one thing that Orange Crush is doing with Produce is he's definitely got his finger on the pulse for independent wrestling and what's going on. So I'm excited to also kind of look and scout talent and see who else is going to be on the show that really sticks out.
Now, we've talked about this many times, but perhaps you can help us clear this up. Tiger Mask retired on a Monday, and then on a Wednesday, he was announced for your show. How did you pull this off?
Correct. So yeah, Tiger Mask retired in Japan on a Monday, and we knew that I was going back and forth with him, you know, obviously, because I really wanted him to be able to come and do, because he wanted to say goodbye, and he wanted to go to Europe, so he was able to go to France just a couple of weeks ago, and he wanted to really, you know, he wanted to do a match in America one last time. And so when I asked him, you know, would you mind doing this personal favor for me for my show? And I would love to be able to have you say goodbye to the fans here in the States. He was totally in for it. So that's kind of how it all came down. I know he took a little bit of heat online. You know, there were some fans that were unhappy because I guess technically he did retire. But I mean, we knew that he was going to be, you know, have a world tour to hopefully kind of say goodbye. You know, I mean, the guy's, he had a 30-year career, and there's places that he still wanted to go, like France, and here in New York as well. So I think it all worked out, and I'm excited that he was able to do it. And, you know, to be honest, he had tons of trouble getting here today. You know, last night his flight got canceled. This morning his flight got delayed. He was almost going to miss it. We had to get him a new flight. And so he's on his way now, and it's all going to work out for the best, I think, and most importantly for the fans.
Have you ever had a chance to work with Tommy Billington?
Yes. So actually I got to work with Tommy as Black Tiger maybe a couple of months ago in JCW. I think he's a hell of a talent, man. He's really, really, really good. And, you know, it's crazy how much he reminds me of the original Dynamite Kid. So I think it's going to be cool. That's why I'm excited about this tag match, because you've got Magnus, Black Tiger 8, who's very similar to like a Silver King, that type of Black Tiger. And then my style was, you know, Black Tiger 4 was very similar to Mark Rocco, and a little bit of Eddie Guerrero mixed in there. And then, you know, you've got Tom Billington, who's, you know, splitting image of Dynamite Kid, Tiger Mask 4, who was a splitting image of Satoru Sayama. So I think it's really cool. It's going to be super throwback. And, it's a match that I think most fans, even if you didn't know you wanted to see it, you're going to be excited to see it.
You know, we got Lance Storm here on the line as well. I wanted to ask you both this, because you guys have both seen a lot of wrestling over the years. But there have been a lot of people that have attempted to rip off the original Dynamite Kid. Many, many people. And I'm not sure I've seen anyone do it quite as well as Tommy Billington. Some people might say Benoit, but, I mean, I watch Tommy Billington, and it's kind of uncanny, I think. And what are your thoughts on that, and you too, Lance?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing with Billington is he has the, like, he stands on the apron like Dynamite did. He has the same, if there's a camera there, I'll pose. He looks like Dynamite Kid. Like, he has all the mannerisms, which may be a family trait, which is why he can pull it off. It's not just he does a snap suplex and he does a diving headbutt. He moves and stands and looks like him.
I agree 100%. I think, I think it's in his DNA 100%, you know, and it really shows. It's not like an act, you know. It's not like somebody trying to necessarily be like somebody. I think it's just the way he is, and probably, you know, how he was influenced when he was a young kid watching, you know, Dynamite do his thing and watching tapes back and seeing how he moved. And like Lance said, and, you know, maybe it's all a tribute to, you know, the family traits, you know. And so it's definitely not an act. It doesn't feel like an act. It's very natural and organic.
Well, you're actually putting this show together and also doing this show, so I do want to thank you for doing that. But before we let you go, the show's at Pioneer Works Brooklyn. It is co-produced by you, and we can watch it on MyAW, correct, if you want to see it tonight?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, if you can't make it out to Brooklyn, there still are a few GA tickets left if you are in the area and you want to make it down. But if you can't, you can definitely watch it tonight on MyAW.
And before we go, what are some of the other big matches you put together that you're excited about?
Etchicero versus Minoru Suzuki. I know you're excited about that one.
Oh, yes.
First time ever. That's pretty crazy, right? We also got Scotty versus Persephone. There's the Royal Rambo, which is going to be nuts. It's like 30 people. It's going to be crazy. And I got to give it up to Orange Crush on that one. He really put together a wild, wild Royal Rambo. And the whole night, there's a ton of matches. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be sick. We're trying to bring back that feeling of, you know, PWG and that, you know, when the indies were hot and you know, you didn't know what you were going to see, but you also had, like, a ton of people with amazing talent that are coming through in wrestling. So I think people are definitely taking notice of what Produce is and what Orange Crush is doing.
All right, well, Rocky, best of luck tonight. Thank you so much for doing the show here today, and we will be back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. As a veteran, show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Proceeds support Heroes on the Water.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
My fellow Americans, let the message ring out that from this day forward, when you buy American, you buy the best. Handcrafted. Something premium. Something pure. For this is the very essence of what our servicemen and women gave their lives to protect. And by God, we shall not allow their sacrifice to be forgotten. It's time to show the world just how great American can be. And we will not wait for tomorrow to come. We will stand here, this moment, together. And we will start today.
Celebrate responsibly.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Lance is joining us here today. Hey, if you're not a subscriber, what a week it is to subscribe, because let me tell you, all I do is shows. I just do shows. I did 4 SummerSlam recaps on Saturday and Sunday, 2 with Vinny, 2 with Dave. Did this show here today, so I guess that's the 5th recap of this show. Tonight, it will be Observer Radio with Dave. We'll be talking Raw and all the rest of the news. Dave and I talk news all weekend as well. And then tomorrow looks like you're here, Lance. Mm-hmm. And we'll see about Wednesday as well, because you'll never guess, Tom's got flight issues.
Common thread lately.
Does anyone not have flight issues? So anyway, it's airline travel is a disaster right now. But anyway, we'll do our best. But tonight, yes, subscribers, check it out, F4WOnline.com. You can also check out Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. YouTube and Spotify, you can watch all the shows. And if you sign up at WrestlingObserver.com, F4WOnline.com, you can get all of the archives, 18,000 shows archived, dating back to 2005. Go back and listen to all the SummerSlam shows. Compare them. See how they compare to this year. So it's a lot of fun. Check it out. And as noted, Lance and I will be back tomorrow. You're watching Raw tonight?
Absolutely.
We'll see how long we all last. That's it, everybody. We'll talk to you next time, Wrestling Observer Live.